Last month's deadly Camp Fire could be a turning point in the debate over how to manage Western forests. Groups that have fought for decades over logging may finally be getting together to figure out what needs to be done to prevent or at least mitigate the devastation of future megafires. NPR's Kirk Ziegler reports.
1 month after the most destructive wildfire in America in more than a century, I'm in a chopper flying over neighborhoods and commercial districts that are completely decimated. Rubble amidst the tall, blackened pines.
I think maybe you can bear around to your left down there. Get there. A little lower.
Outside the town of Paradise, tucked into the rugged canyons, there are illegal pot plantations exposed and charred. A few homes on ridgetops here or there are spared, but overall, the scale of the devastation is just alarming.
To the right, but see how hot that burned. There's nothing left there.
I'm flying with Dan Tomaszewski, vice president and head forester for Sierra Pacific Industries. It's the big timber company in Northern California. He's assessing the damage to his company's lands, about 10,000 acres burned, mostly east into the mountains above Paradise.
It took the whole stand, but we'll have to get there quickly and harvest what's big enough to make lumber.
There's a short window to salvage these trees we're buzzing over before they're ruined by bugs or rot. Deeper in the mountains now, our pilot lands in a clearing near the old sawmill town of Sterling City. From here, we trade the chopper for a pickup and begin driving through an eerily charred landscape.
Boy, it's whacked, huh?
Is it?
Yeah, it's really burned.
Tomaszewski is riding shotgun with one of his employees.
The stuff we planted in 2008, it's toast, you know. Every
so often we pass dense forest that didn't burn, and it's astounding how thick the brush and small trees are. In forests like this, it's thought that there are 10 times as many trees as is natural.
And this is a lot of what Paradise looked like prior.
Yeah, just like
you
this.
Know, big tree canopy. And, you know, people love the trees, and you love the privacy, and they're beautiful, but they can be a liability.
All this undergrowth dried out from hotter and longer summers and a history of suppressing wildfires is a big reason why we're now seeing these deadly megafires. Tomaszewski stops to point out a small clearing in the forest where some big trees survived the fire. This past summer, Sierra Pacific thinned out that underbrush to create a fuel break. It stopped the campfire for a bit and allowed firefighters to make a stand here.
We don't think we're being naive in that this is a panacea for every condition every time, but this really is a start, and it will really give us a leg up in trying to keep these things small.
Well, this is the kind of work that foresters say needs to be done now to keep wildfires smaller on millions of acres of private and public land across the West.
Yeah, we're all in this together, and we'll make it.
We're all in this together is the theme at an emotional fire council meeting near Paradise. Fire officials in this room are already eyeing the critical forest work that lies ahead. Jim Brochiers is head of emergency operations in Paradise.
Yeah, every one of the fires, Thomas, Tubbs, Carr, and of course Camp, have all kind of been leading us down the same direction of we have to rethink the past.
Brochier's home was one of only a few spared in Paradise, which he credits to brush clearing and other mitigation work he had done. But he says this can't just be done in and around fire-prone towns anymore. We've got to go way out into the forests, do selective thinning, brush clearing, plan burns.
There's an agreement now that we have overstocked forests that are not resilient to bugs, drought, disease, and fire.
Brochiers and others here on the ground are quick to say what's really holding up this forest work is funding, not the decades-old environmental battles over logging, what people here call the timber wars. North of Paradise, in the town of Mount Shasta, conservationist Ariel Halpern says there's a realization now that all the finger-pointing and blaming wasn't constructive.
I think there are a lot of discussions that need to happen, and everybody could use some education. I say this for myself as well.
Halpern is organizing her neighbors, from hippies to ranchers, into community groups doing prescribed burning.
And to be honest, we do have common goals. We all like to have have safe homes and families and communities. I don't think that, you know, you talk to an environmentalist on the far left and somebody on the far right, and I bet that they could agree with that statement.
Back in the woods near the old sawmill town of Sterling City, Dan Tomaszewski says his industry is now talking and compromising with groups they might not have even met with a decade ago.
You know, it takes time. You know, you go to more meetings than you'd like to go, but you need to build a consensus.
And Tomaszewski sees an upside amid all this tragedy. There's potential for a boom in rural forest jobs again. Kirk Sigler, NPR News, Sterling City, California.